And with the proliferation of cell phone technology and also wireless internet, broadband, and satellites, as well as cell phone towers and microwave towers. In the book, you say that we're on the verge of a whole new generation and wave of an increase of all of that.
We are. And it's been in the news lately. It's called 5G. And it's being planned both on Earth and in space. On Earth, the telecom companies are gearing up for this new thing that they're calling the Internet of Things, that's going to be served by a kind of service that they're calling 5G wireless technology. And it's going to be totally different than the kind of cell phones and internet connections that we have now. It's actually going to be phased arrays, which is not in my book, because when I wrote my book, this was not on the drawing board yet. But it's going to require small cell towers, antennas on existing utility poles is how they're going to do it, on every block in every city in the world, spaced about 200 to 300 feet apart throughout the world. They're going to use millimeter waves. Each cell site is going to have thousands of tiny antennas in it, focusing beams at your cell phone, at your wireless hub in your house. The intensity of radiation that we'll be hit with will increase astronomically. The second thing that's on the drawing board is doing this from satellites in space. And only recently, Elon Musk of SpaceX, just last week, he got permission from the FCC to launch his first 4,425 satellites into space. That's already been granted. Eventually, SpaceX's plans are for 12,000 satellites completely blanketing the Earth with phased array antennas, super high-speed internet from only 200 miles in altitude. They're going to irradiate every square inch of the Earth. There's going to be no place remote enough where you're not getting irradiated. The fact that these are still hundreds of miles above our heads is not reassuring in light of what has happened historically, that every time we have dramatically changed the properties of the Earth's electromagnetic field, which is called the magnetosphere, it has had dramatic effects on health down here on Earth. And so we are sounding the alarm. There's a new organization, relatively new, that was founded 3 years ago, called GARDS. It's the Global Union Against Radiation Deployment in Space. And GARDS has a website, stopglobalwifi.org. My website is cellphonetaskforce.org. That's where my book is for sale also. My book, The Invisible Rainbow, is only for sale on our website, cellphonetaskforce.org. It's not available from Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay. So I'm curious, do we adapt to these technologies being in the environment?
To some degree, we've had to adapt. If we wouldn't have adapted, we wouldn't be here. To some degree, animals adapt, and that has been shown historically. For example, with homing pigeons during the 1930s and 40s, when the proliferation of radio stations all over the planet, people who possessed homing pigeons and the military that used them for communication, pigeons started to get lost all over the place and to lose their orientation, and they've adapted to some degree. But we're not adapting anymore. Yes, to some degree, we're functioning. But we're getting more cancers, we're getting more heart disease, we're getting more diabetes, we have more refugees from this technology. You talked about people who are affected. These are people who are consciously affected. We've been injured. I was injured back in 1980 while I was in medical school. And so I feel the stuff. I couldn't use a cell phone if you paid me $1 million. Couldn't do it. And there are people that my organization, besides education and advocacy and some litigation, we're a support group. And we're a support group for the thousands of people who are calling me all the time. And we have a board of directors that scattered all over the United States that do some of the same work. These are people who've been driven out of their homes, unable to work, living in many cases in their cars in remote places until they can't anymore. It's a tremendous refugee problem. It's like if you have a cell tower built near your home, you get so sick that you can't live in it anymore. If you live in an apartment building and your neighbor on the other side of your wall has a Wi-Fi access point, you've got to move. If the utility company comes and puts a smart meter, a smart electric meter on your house, you've got to leave. And how many people is this happening to? Tremendous numbers of people. There have been surveys done, not only by individual scientists, but by universities, by governments, establishing that from 3 to 5 to maybe more percent, the number is increasing, of the population of any given area in the world will tell an interviewer, I'm sensitive to electromagnetic fields. I can't be around power lines. I can't be around wireless technology. Now, if you extrapolate that to the whole world and you make adjustments to the fact that maybe half the world doesn't even have access to internet yet, as a conservative number, still, 100 million people out there have had their lives disrupted by electromagnetic radiation. Out of those, and I'm talking from personal experience, from the thousands of people that have called me, at least 1 out of 5, 1 out of 4 of them have eventually been displaced from their homes. So you have, conservatively, a population of 20 million refugees in the world. It's a terrible thing. And this is also why I'm doing this work.
So from this problem, there's a whole new cottage industry of mitigating technologies to help people cope.
Yes.
Are there any effective mitigating technologies available that can help people?
Well, the International Institute of Building Biology and Ecology teaches courses and certifies practitioners both to diagnose and mitigate chemical contamination and electromagnetic contamination of homes. There's nothing they can do about infrastructure, cell towers, radio towers, stuff like that. But they can go into your home and they can take measurements. I myself have a large box of equipment. I can do this. I'm not trained by them. I'm self-trained. But you can go to their website. What is it? HBELC.org, approximately like that. It's the Institute of Building Biology and Ecology. And you can find a list of practitioners in your area. And this is how they make a living. And it's another indication of how large this population is that they serve. As far as, is there anything effective? There are ways that you can shield yourself. There is also an industry manufacturing shielding fabrics, shielding curtains, shielding canopies to sleep under, paints that you can buy in various stores that are impregnated with silver particles. So you can paint your house with this shielding material, plastic that is impregnated with metallic elements that can shield your windows. You can actually shield your whole house. You can build a house out of metal. You can do this. It's not healthy. It works to a degree. Why is it not healthy? You're cutting yourself off from the Earth's electromagnetic fields. It's not a healthy thing to do in the long term. But as an emergency measure, and because there's nothing else you can do in this world, lots and lots of people are doing it until they can't anymore, and then they move out into their cars. And then they call me, help, where can I go, what can I do? And some of them don't survive, some of them commit suicide. And it's an enormous problem. There's not a real good answer. A lot of companies are selling these snake oil devices, little discs you can put on your cell phone that are supposed to normalize the radiation, and things you can plug into your wall, to pendants you can wear, and all this kind of, none of them work, and many of them are harmful. A lot of them put out what they call a Schumann resonance field of 8 hertz, which is supposed to duplicate the resonant frequency of the Earth. It's just more radiation. It's harmful. It doesn't work.
So then there's really not much hope for...
But the hope is we've got to stop it.
Right.
This is a threat.
This is political activism.
It's political activism. It's a planetary emergency. It's a threat to life on this Earth. In my opinion, it's more immediate threat than global warming. Because global warming is going to kill us eventually if we don't do something about it. This is going to kill us in a couple of years if we permit 5G to come from space.
And there's no way to really effectively and healthfully stop it or block it.
Go live underground. We shouldn't have to live this way. And most people are oblivious. And that's why I'm on the radio. That's why I'm consenting to give interviews. That's why I wrote my book. That's why I helped organize GUARDS and founded the Cellular Phone Task Force in 1996. and has to be done, has to be stopped.
So how can people get involved in this? How can people do something to make the most of their energy and activism?
Contact me via my organization's website. It's www.cellphonetaskforce.org. Contact GUARDS, which is stopglobalwifi.org, and get involved with us. We're very few people. When I say very few, yes, we're spread all over the globe. Yes, there are scientists that are butting their heads against the wall, just like us activists are butting our heads against the wall. There was an international scientist appeal for a 5G moratorium that has been submitted to the European Union. They're also not getting heard. What, 236 scientists signed that so far? It's a drop in the bucket. We need more people. We need more awareness. We need people to realize when they pick up their cell phone and make a call, they're hurting themselves. They're destroying brain cells. They're hurting their health. It's interfering with their sleep. This is why so many people need sleeping medications and anti-anxiety and antidepressants. First thing is awareness. Second thing, get rid of your cell phone. Third thing, call us up. Contact me, contact GUARDS. Buy my book. It's The Invisible Rainbow, A History of Electricity and Life. It's for sale on my organization's website, on a few other websites, but yeah, go to www.cellphonetaskforce.org and you can buy my book there.
Well, this is a very disturbing and harrowing issue.
If we get rid of wireless technology, remember how the world used to be in 1995. And I'll leave your audience with that. It's like we can be so much more alive. Our bodies can be so much more healthy. This is how long we've had cell phones.
Okay.
Most of us.
Okay, so you're talking about we can stop using cell phones. We can at least get that level of relief.
Not just stop using them. You have to throw it away. Because as long as you have it, you are perpetuating the infrastructure.
Right, right.
You're paying for your cell phone. The telecommunications company is required by law to serve you.
Mm-hmm.
That means all these cell towers. That means 5G. That means all these satellites.
Yep, yep. And this is the largest industry on the planet at this point.
It's the largest industry on the planet, and it's the largest cause of disease.
Mm-hmm.
And people counter with, we're not going to get rid of cell phones. That's not going to happen. And I have to tell them, well, do you want the world to continue? Do you want to put an end to life? How much do you value life on Earth? You have to make a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that clarifies the issue very well. And that's a great note to end on. Thank you so much for all your work and for your time today.
Thank you, Tony.
It's been a very interesting conversation, and it's a fascinating book.
I expect it to be reviewed in an environmental history journal shortly.
And that was Arthur Furstenberg. He's been hailed as the Rachel Carson of the 21st century. After graduating from Cornell University with a degree in mathematics, he attended the University of California at Irvine School of Medicine when an X-ray overdose cut short his medical career. For the past 35 years, he's been a researcher, consultant, and lecturer on the health and environmental effects of electromagnetic radiation.